recall, you find yourself in Nicholas's apartment, somewhat undercover as Uncle Vasily when you come and go. The news of your death has started to hit the air, but being who you are, the rumors are swirling that it's all fake. After all, you've been declared dead before, and it never seemed to stick then either. At the moment, you're watching the news while sitting next to Nicholas. One thing you have in common is a Spartan lifestyle and marriage to your job, so Nicholas only has one bowl and one spoon, which he has to wash between uses. Right now, he's eating cereal out of that bowl, so you're drinking cereal out of a coffee mug.
That's probably my idea.
You are a man of solutions. Then the news declares, coming up next, we'll be sitting down with the crew of Unstoppable Industries to get a handle on recent events. Is Kimon really dead? Has Mercury been defeated? If not, what are his motives? And is your family safe? Stay tuned.
That's slimeball Larry. I gotta see how he decided to handle all this.
Nicholas says, do they have a plan for if you die?
And there's always a family compensation package, but Rudy didn't like to think about what would happen if he had to move forward without someone. As he saw it, you were his responsibility, and he had the power to keep you safe. Planning to die in the line of duty was like planning to be stabbed in the back by Rudy himself, and he'd never do that, so he didn't make official plans about it.
Did he ever talk to you about what he might do if you got killed?
I brought it up. He just said he'd make right by me. I asked him how, and he said he'd keep worrying after those institutions in our city, just like he promised me. He also said he might worry after my son. I told him not to. Howard's too soft as it is, and me dying will be enough to make him happy. He doesn't need some big cash payout. Rudy said he wasn't gonna help him. He was just gonna worry after him. I said, that's fair enough, then.
Speaking of your son, they say they picked up heatstroke, but no real word on Howard. That means either your son went peacefully and they didn't realize he's superpowered, or he wasn't there.
The smart thing, and I'd be impressed, so I'm not going to assume he did this, but the smart thing would be to pretend that you were someone else and wind up in a normal holding cell with your gang. Then you bust out, scatter in every direction, and see who made it later. You can't agree to meet because if someone got caught, there's a chance they'll flip and reveal the meeting location. But when you start to rebuild and that demon logo gets around the city, you'll find each other. More likely, though, Mercury just has another nest. There was some warehouse I was looking at earlier. There might be more of his goons there.
They're the dominant gang in the city right now. Fabricator did a bit of work for them, but they cut him out of the picture a little while ago. I think that's why he was willing to help you out.
Of course. The guy replaced whatever part of his brain that feels affection towards people. We're all just numbers on a spreadsheet for him.
Your program comes back. And Paul, Denny Blothers, the host of the aptly named show that airs at night, walks on stage to the greeting of his band. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, have we got a fantastic show for you tonight? And I always promise this, but this time, I really, really mean it. Really, really. The whole program is dedicated to none other than Unstoppable Industries. That's those proud defenders of our city who stop at nothing to make sure that the giant lizards and apocalyptic space aliens decide to go bother someone else. Preferably a small town in Ohio, where a tiny rural mob will then drive them out of the area entirely. And after that humiliation, they just don't come back. So, joining me tonight are Freeze Frame, Flux, and Kimon, the Slayer of Men! And Kimon, when you walk on stage, the crowd goes wild. People probably had bets that you were still alive.
Well, there we are. Now we know how Freeze Frame handles my death. He pretends it didn't happen.
Well, you know, it didn't, says Nicholas.
Okay, look, I may not be dead, but that's also not me on TV, and Lowry doesn't know it.
Denny Blothers says, welcome back from the dead, Mr. Kimon, and if anyone asks, I had money on you surviving. The Kimon on TV says, did anyone not have money on me living? I mean, come on. If you shot me into the sun, I'd come right back on fire and still kick your ass.
I totally would. That's gotta be Light Show. He's really good at copying people.
Heck, TV, Kimon goes on. I'd like to see them try it. Go ahead, build a rocket. I love when my enemies waste their resources. Denny Blothers replies, I suppose you can just stand there and let them shoot you until they run out of ammunition. TV Kimon says, yeah, then I just spit the bullets in my hand and now I've got the ammunition. I'll throw it back where it came from.
That's good. That's the kind of crap I'd say.
Blother says, well, this by itself is big news, but in the background, beneath the rumors of your death and just before you storm Mercury's compound, billionaire Kelvin McDonald was kidnapped from his own home. We're told his wife went to Unstoppable Industries for help, and here he is right now. Kelvin McDonald walks out to applause.
Ah, they made it sound like Lowry rescued him. His wife paid the ransom, though.
Nicholas says, I know, Kimon, I was involved.
I know you were involved. Sometimes I just like to hear people say out loud that we're on the same page. It feels like I'm constantly fighting just to gain a consensus on the plain facts in front of my eyes.
Denny Blothers says, could you tell us a little bit about how that went down?
Yeah, Denny. So you're probably well aware of how Mercury brought a tragic end to this nation's favorite superhero.
New Jersey Delphia's very own Captain Momentum.
The crowd boos and cries out,
"Aah!" Well, he's the way that all supervillains are. If they're opposed to anything, it's the peace and order of this country. The most typical kind of villain that you'll see is some sort of insecure megalomaniac who thinks that they have a better way to run your lives than you have to run it yourself. In fact, this is Flux. He's our tech genius and research guy.
Yeah, hi, that's me.
He's still a little shy, but what we think Mercury's main goal is to take over the city, or perhaps the whole nation, and make it into a sort of villainocracy, where he alone gets to dictate how society is going to work.
Blether says, "Kimon, you know the villain mind better than anyone. In fact, when Captain Momentum was pursuing a pardon for you, he pointed out that many of your supporters were swayed because you provided bailouts for small companies or paid off some amazing medical debts."
But before we get into that, I'd like to make it clear that Mercury has been a lot less philanthropic than Kimon ever was. And for that matter, that what Kimon was doing was in many cases racketeering.
TV Kimon says, "Well, yeah, of course, it was villainy. I mean, of course, we ran a few rackets. But what you have to understand is, if the systems in place can't protect or help people, that creates gaps and weaknesses. I can stick a little pry bar in there and pop the city open like a clam, just like that."
He's getting too real.
Nicholas says, "Excuse me? That sounds like something that you would say."
"You can't say that stuff on TV, and not on a talk show. It's too heavy. You can barely say it in political theater and get away with it. You have to talk candy or blame somebody."
Denny Blethers says, "You know, a lot of times when you open a clam, you hope to see a pearl. And not to insult New Jersey Delphia, it is a great city. But when I open the clam in New Jersey Delphia, I expect to see, oh, a dead squirrel. Or maybe a gum wrapper." TV Kimon says, "Or a used condom, maybe." Blether says, "How did a used condom get in the clam?" TV Kimon says, "Look, New Jersey Delphia clams gotta work too. Don't shame the clam." And the crowd laughs.
That's a good recovery. I tell that stuff to Lightshow. You don't say it to Denny Blethers.
The bottom line is, Mercury is deeply invested in the city's clams. And he apparently has a lot of notes on how they do their work.
The crowd laughs. Blethers says, "I guess now we know where the condom came from. But okay, research guy. Have you done enough research to tell us where Mercury is now?"
Well, I've definitely, like, looked into his, like, his power set that we know, and he could definitely fit anywhere. Into a clam, for example.
Blether says, "You're suggesting he might be inside the condom inside the clam."
Well, I mean,
I don't know who wants to check, but
he can get into the groundwater or the sewers, and so knowing for sure where he is or if he's dead or not is pretty tricky until he shows up and we see he's still alive.
Kimon, is this just a villain thing? Is this just a villain thing? TV Kimon replies, "It's something all the good villains do. You know, the bad villains die, so you're not going to hear about any stuff from them." Blether says, "Ah, so it's a survivorship bias thing."
That is 100% correct. Normally we catch a villain or know exactly what happened to them. It's these weird cases that become extremely notable and difficult to deal with. And of course, that's also why we exist in the first place. It takes a considerable amount of resources for the FBI to try to do this work.
But you guys are more efficient, though?
Yeah, we're a smaller, private industry. And since we're driven by a profit motive, we can't really be wasteful, and we get things done more efficiently. You know, it's for the business.
Okay, well, what's something that you do that the FBI doesn't do? Like, how would the FBI become more efficient if they wanted to be like you guys?
Well, for one thing, they could not be working under politicians.
The crowd laughs. Easy target.
But the FBI has a very broad set of crimes that they need to focus on, while we're very narrowly focused almost entirely on supercrime.
But it seems like the FBI might have more broad data to work with, you know, on the whole, and that would allow them to...
For example, some villains like Mercury require a bespoke solution to deal with their powers. The FBI has a broad procedural approach to this kind of thing, but we can tailor our focus to these specific villains. In fact, for Mercury, our tech genius, Flux, has prepared a special prison suit.
Yeah, actually, we can demonstrate this for everyone. Can we bring that out? The onesie is rolled out, and everyone gathers around it. Blethers asks, "May I touch it?"
Sure, go ahead.
He picks it up.
Oh, not like that. I'm kidding.
Oh, God. You just about gave me a heart attack there. What's it do? Does it explode? It looks like a onesie. A very big onesie, but still.
Yeah, I call it the Online Neutralization and Entombment System Interface.
Okay, so that is That spells onesie.
Yes, but it's not a onesie. It's a very sophisticated piece of technology.
Okay, so how does it work?
Well, it has an online interface, or like Bluetooth, you know. That's why I called it the online neutralization.
Oh, it's turning into a ball. Okay, is that normal? Did I do something, or did I break it?
No, it's supposed to be a ball before you throw it. Normally, it's a ball.
Okay, so it's supposed to be a ball. That's good. Working so far, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's supposed to be was there a mannequin or something? There was one.
Yeah,
backstage.
We've got a mannequin. Hold on. Let's bring it out. And they wheeled a mannequin out on stage.
Okay, so all you have to do is just throw the ball at the mannequin.
He underhand lobs the ball towards the mannequin, and it sails right over it. The ball lands and rolls off stage. Blothers says, okay, I think I did it wrong.
Oh, that's all right. See, it's tuned to Flux's super suit. So he can just hold out his hand, and it'll fly right back to him.
Oh, will it? Yeah, it will.
Flux opens his hand, and the ball flies straight to it from wherever it was.
Okay. Here you go. Try again.
Blethers says, you want me to try again?
Well, it's your show.
I already embarrassed myself enough, though. Nobody wants to see me do that again. Why don't you throw it?
Oh, well, I...
Because Kimon is our throwing guy. Denny, if you could go ahead and hand that thing to Kimon, he pretty much can't miss with it.
Oh, right, yeah. It goes to Kimon.
TV Kimon takes the ball, then chucks it at the mannequin. Splut! It immediately spreads out, covering the entire mannequin and closing up around it.
There you are. No escape.
Denny Blothers says, wow, that is amazing. Now, does this work to preserve food? Could I get some of the stuff to put around, say, like a Christmas ham? And then I could just put it in my fridge.
Well, certainly, but I mean, it might be the most expensive Tupperware dish that you ever save a ham with.
Really? How much does it cost?
Oh, just all the money.
All of it?
Well, a lot of it.
I thought you guys said this was more efficient.
Well, it's reusable technology, and of course the advantage for us as a private company is that we can patent this and sell the design afterwards, so it'll pay for itself.
Oh, for you, but I guess not whoever else has to pay for it. Does this thing have breathing holes?
Well...
Does it not?
The problem is that mercury can turn into a fluid, so the design has to be watertight, at least, so it's not going to, like...
It's made of a dilatant polymer weave. It does allow some air through, but trust me, you wouldn't want to have this tested on yourself.
Does mercury need oxygen while he's liquid metal?
I don't believe anyone has tested that, except maybe Mercury himself. Now, of course, we do always do our best to make sure that any villain we capture is done so humanely and safely for everyone. But supervillains are a little more volatile and less predictable than other people. It's kind of up to them to not be in a position where we have to use these kinds of restraining techniques. But unfortunately, Mercury has chosen what he's chosen.
He's chosen to be wrapped up in a gimp suit with no air holes.
They say you have to be a little crazy to be a supervillain.
First the city's clams, and now this.
We'll save those clams. We'll save everybody. All thanks to our tech genius, Flux.
Yeah.
You know, I've been telling him he's really got to patent and sell more of his ideas, but he's got that superhero itch and is really just focused on the needs of the city.
Well, you know, that's true. The whole reason I got into being a superhero is because, you know, protecting people is the most important thing. And I that's why I'm making inventions.
Right, sure, sure.
Honestly, after working with him for a while, I don't know why Flux is in the superhero business at all. I can't figure out his convictions, what pushed him into this job. You know, it was probably his mother. She probably told him to be a superhero, and he couldn't say no.
Denny Blethers says, all right, well, we can see how you'd catch Mercury, but let's talk about some things that happened leading up to this point. Now, Kelvin McDonald here, you were kidnapped straight out of your own home, I'm told. Kelvin nods and says, they practically walked right in. Blethers asks, didn't you have your own bodyguards? Do you hire your own super people to protect you? McDonald replies, well, I've looked into it, of course, but the problem is super people generally want to be contracted and kept on retainer. And where it comes to the issue of defense, as Unstoppable Industries can tell you, every threat is a little different.
That's right. It is a constantly evolving process.
Right. So you hire a man with super speed, and he gets outfoxed by a man who can turn invisible. So then you hire a man who can turn invisible, and he gets disabled by a man who can find and attack his mind with psionic abilities. At the end of the day, it just makes more sense to hire a normal security team and carry it out as normal. Blethers says, right, and what kind of powers did the guy who kidnapped you have? McDonald replies, what we know for sure is that he can telekinetically control knives and see in the dark. Blethers says, that is terrifying. Can we get a picture of what this guy was dressed like? It's just an artist's rendition. And now, Flux, you're the research guy, correct?
Uh-huh.
Do you know who this villain is or where he's gone to?
Well, we're definitely tracking the situation.
What does he call himself?
As far as we know, he didn't call himself anything.
Do you know how he feels about clams?
Well, we...
So far, we believe he's clam neutral.
But really, he didn't introduce himself with any kind of name at all.
It was actually a team of three villains. We believe they must have been hired by Mercury because usually, when villains aren't announcing themselves or claiming a lot of credit, it's because they're professionals trying to keep a somewhat low profile.
Okay, I didn't know that. So, do we have costumes and known powers for the other two?
One of them can bend metal, and we don't know for the other.
Then how do you know all three of them were supervillains?
Because it doesn't make any sense for the team to be composed of the Knife Wizard, Metal Man, and their friend Steve.
You don't know that. I mean, maybe Steve was just not doing anything that night. He called up the guys and said, "Hey, you guys busy?" His buddy said, "Yeah, we kind of got a thing." And Steve said, "Hey, count me in. I'll do the thing." And pretty soon he's helping a kidnapping. It could happen to anyone. I've been roped into a few situations in my time.
Okay, well, we now have reason to believe the third guy might be a famous talk show host.
Oh, really? Who is he? I bet I know who he is.
Didn't you just confess? I swear you just confessed.
No, you don't got me on nothing. I wasn't there. Mr. McDonald invited me. If anything, I was kidnapped too. Nobody told me.
Okay, all right. Well, we are assuming the third guy had a power of some sort. They attacked very suddenly, so the accounts are murky and the details are a little confused.
So this guy in green, he didn't give himself a name. So that means it's up to us to name him, right? What about Magic Knife Leprechaun? I'm just spitballing.
Oh, because of the green?
Yeah, and the magic knives, I'm guessing. Maybe just Knife Leprechaun, since leprechauns are inherently magical.
What if we just say he's soon to be under arrest?
Well, that's not catchy at all.
Look, villains love to create a lot of theater around themselves. But the truth is, he's probably just some guy named Steve. And the FBI is offering $100 million if anyone out there can help with his arrest. So at best, we can call the guy doomed.
Well, what about the doomed man, then?
All right, I'll turn off the TV. I gotta make a few phone calls.
Nicholas says, "This is why you need to announce yourself to people, Kimon."
They can call me Leprechaun if they want. I'll even wear a silly hat to go with it. All that matters is once you do enough to be taken seriously, they'll start taking you seriously. A leprechaun can be a funny little man who steals cereal, or he can be a scary monster that grants miracles and steals children. Anyway, I gotta call my friend Danny and the carryout crew.
Carryout crew? Why do you call them the carryout crew?
Because when I want stuff done, Danny's crew carries it out.